He's worthy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Last week we talked about the grace of God in the Old Testament. We compared it to the grace of God in the New Testament, and I think a lot of people were kind of surprised to figure out that the God of grace didn't just show up in the New Testament. He was there in the Old Testament. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not grace as we know it because of the cross, but there was grace and mercy. You see, God has never, ever been happy about hurting anyone. He's always been in the business of helping those that would let him. The Bible said of him, and you need to know who he is because he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He's the Lord God of Israel. He's not in some kind of flux or evolutionary change in his character. Whatever he is, whoever he was, he is, and he always will be. I want to remember that today. That's a theological concept, but it is a personal, practical truth. Whatever and whoever God was, he is, and he ever will be. He never changes. His word doesn't change to accommodate a culture that is in flux, that is constantly adapting to the culture about itself. That God is not like that. That's why the gospel seems so foreign when you hear it directly from the Word of God in this culture. Many churches, many preachers want to try to edit the gospel to accommodate the culture. The Word of God was not sent to us to accommodate the culture. I wouldn't personally want to be in the shoes of those who have decided what to keep in and what to leave out. Because that is in essence taking from or adding to the Word of God. And the Bible spoke of itself, the whole book, not just the book of Revelation, but the Bible itself, whoever adds to the prophecies of this book, the plagues of this book shall be added to him. The judgments of this book shall be added to him. And whoever takes from what is written in the prophecies or the preachings and teachings of this book, his name shall be removed from the book of life. It won't be in the book of life. Listen to me very carefully today. We need to hear the gospel as it is, not the edited version to accept the culture. But we serve a good and gracious God. You know, here I am talking about the severe judgments of the Lord, and the reason that they are going to be so severe is because the salvation of the Lord is so great. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? If God went to this length to save us, what excuse would we have for not receiving Christ as our Savior? Therefore, Paul talked about knowing the, behold the goodness, so we need the balance. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. And he talked to Gentiles that had come in the New Testament, the New Covenant, and they were enjoying the lavishness of his love and grace. But he reminded them that you're a wild olive branch. And I know some of you Gentiles here today. Pretty wild olive branches. Amen. But you were what? Grafted into the true vine. And what he said was, when you read about how God dealt with his covenant people down through time, because you are under this wonderful grace, don't boast yourself against them. Don't use your liberty as a cloak for maliciousness or sinfulness. Don't try to cause grace to be some kind of permission to just live a sinful, hapless life with no regard for God in it. Because that is not the purpose of grace. It is not the power of grace. Grace gives you the opportunity to turn around in your life. Grace gives you the privilege and the power to become what God has called you to be and not what the world is trying to make you become. Amen? One of the most beautiful scriptures to me after you become a Christian is, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service or your true spiritual worship. Worship is not just something you do for 20 or 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. It's something you do when you walk out of here, the way you live your life, the values you have, the morals that you have. So God is saying, I love you. I gave my son for you. How shall we escape? What? The judgment to come, which you don't hear much of. Paul preached about it. When Paul came before Felix, the governor, the Bible said he sent for Paul, expecting to receive something from him. He thought, I'm holding him under house arrest. I'm holding him imprisoned. Church has brought him an offering. So he will bribe me. He will offer me a bribe to turn him loose. But he didn't get what he was expecting from Paul. Because after Paul, the sermon is not there, but the result of the sermon is there. And because the result of the sermon is there, we know what the sermon was. And Paul spoke to him. He said, and to get him to give him the money, he acted like he was concerned about the faith until he really understood what the faith was. And the accountability and the responsibility that he had after hearing the gospel. How many know before you hear the gospel, you're not near as accountable and responsible as after you've heard the gospel? So he said, I would hear of thee concerning the faith. And the Bible said when Paul got through talking to him, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance. And something you don't hear much today, but it hasn't changed just because you don't hear it. It hasn't changed just because preachers don't preach it. And judgment to come. And the Bible said that Felix trembled. It shook him up. If you're here today without Christ, I want to give you a little disclaimer before we get further into this service. God called me to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Amen. So if you're here without Jesus today, you will be very uncomfortable. And you know why you'll be uncomfortable? Because God is going to call you if you don't know Him. Because God loves you. Because God gave His Son and Christ gave His life and the Holy Spirit has come. And He don't want you lost. And He don't want you hurt. And He don't want you deceived. And He don't want you destroyed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you're here without Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to call you today. He's going to convict you today. When He comes, He will not just give you a liver shiver on Sunday morning. He will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Everything He came to do, He was doing through Paul when Paul talked to the governor and told him what the faith is really all about. He said, man, you're not right with God. He reasoned of righteousness. I'm not right with God. That's what righteousness is. Let's don't get too deep in theology. It means right, wise with God. The wonderful thing about being right with God, if you get right with God, Paul said that's the end of the argument. What more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, is risen from the dead. Can you say amen? He's the one that forgives us, and he has paid the price, and he paid it in full. Tetelestai is the way I pronounce it. It may not be exactly the way it's pronounced in the Greek, but I have to hyphenate it. But he cried one cry from the cross. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is accomplished. It literally meant paid in full. Everybody say in full. Because if it's not paid in full, then enough hasn't been paid. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Hallelujah. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Can you say amen? I want to say that that song is theologically correct. It's not a little pop song to sell records for a record company. It is a truth of God put to music. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it, Brother Taylor, white as snow. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, is risen from the dead. And Paul said that should end all arguments. How many know the devil is the accuser of the brethren? Revelation 12 said, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night. Everybody say, he never lets up. He never. And you know something? Being the liar that he is, he doesn't have to lie to accuse you and me. He don't have to lie. Not that we are bound by sin. Sin doesn't reign in our mortal bodies. The Bible said, don't let it reign. Don't let it rule you. You don't have to. But to put this in balance, there's not a person in this room that is sinlessly perfect. Not one. If we say, as Christians, we have absolutely no sin, we lie and do not the truth. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and iniquity. Can you say amen? If we confess, I believe in repentance. I believe it is a progressive work of sanctification. I believe that, listen, attitudes, words that are misspoken, deeds that are done, not just sins of commission, but of omission. I don't believe you ever get to a spiritual point where you're above the need to say, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. That's what keeps it. Listen, folks, if the church will not push back against the message of repentance today, if we'll embrace it, you know what he said to the church that made him sick in Revelation chapter 3? He said, you say I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And that is about the exact testimony. Well, it's not about, it is the exact testimony of the modern day church that fits so well with the culture. Because that's exactly what the world is looking for. And when you come to Christ, if that is promised to you, I mean, who would follow Christ to take up a cross? Who would want to be his disciple if the first prerequisite is denying yourself instead of indulging yourself? Only people that understand and appreciate the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not just for your flesh, your temporal life, amen, but it's righteousness. Being right with God, hallelujah, and it's peace. Peace, because when you're right with God, you have peace with God. And when you have peace with God, the peace of God comes into your heart and into your life. Can you say amen? And it is joy, not the joy of a Maserati, not the joy of a new Mercedes, but the joy of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Lord. Woo! Is your strength, hallelujah. Don't think that following Jesus is going to put you in a box. It's going to set you free from a prison. Don't think it's going to make you look like a lot of Christians. Have your faces on iodine bottles. It's going to set you free to serve the living and true God, hallelujah. To not be bound by the enemy anymore. I love the Lord. David said, because he hears my voice. I love the Lord because he hears my cry. I love the Lord because he hears my voice, turning his ear always to me. Hallelujah. Bending down and listening when I pray. Being right with God. Hallelujah. That the God of the universe recognizes you as his child. That you are right with him. Praise God. Archaeologists dug up an earthen vessel sealed in the ruins of one of the cities in the Middle East near Israel and Jerusalem. When they dug it up, they were interested to see what might be on the inside. And they carefully opened the seal. Air had not been able to get. It was buried, and air had not been able to get into that. So they opened it up, and they found that it was the deed to a piece of land that had been paid off in increments and in installments. And it was listed, every installment on that land, till the last installment was made. And written across that, Tetelestai. The word that Jesus uttered on the cross, when it is translated so we can grasp it practically and personally in the King James, amen, it is finished. It is accomplished, or to be more true to the actual word, paid in full. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I bought a debt I couldn't pay. It was growing every day, but Jesus paid it all for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a good God that we serve, a great God that we serve. Hallelujah. And the reason judgment's going to be so severe is because this great salvation is offered. Scripture is very clear in the book of Hebrews. If they perished under Moses' law, who sinned, there was immediate consequence to sin under the law of Moses. And if they perished under Moses' law that sinned, of how much sore punishment? Suppose ye that they shall be worthy who have trodden underfoot the blood of the everlasting covenant. To hear the gospel and say, I choose darkness over light. I choose sin over Christ. I choose to turn my back and walk away from the offer of forgiveness that was brought and bought with such a great price. Jesus didn't die that instant, quick death. He suffered before he even went to the cross. Such a way to fulfill the prophecies, his visage was marred more than any man's. When we saw him, Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, which is known as the gospel in the Old Testament, when we saw him, there was nothing that we should desire him. What they saw when Pilate said, behold the man, when he brought him out after what they did to him, he was beaten to a bloody pulp. They beat him with an instrument of torture, not just a whip, an instrument of torture. 9 braided leather straps at the end of each one, broken pottery or pieces of metal, so that when they hit him with it, it wrapped around, and when they jerked it back, it didn't just leave welts, it took chunks of flesh. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, talking about the beating he got before he ever got to the cross, prophetically in Psalm 22, he said, my bones stare out of me. I read a medical doctor's assessment of the beating, not the crucifixion first, but the beating prior to the crucifixion. In fact, it went beyond that. I not only read that, but it was on one of those National Geographic, or one of those history channels. They were just talking about instruments of torture. In fact, if you put in cross, crucifixion in a computer, it won't take you to some biblical thing. It will take you to a whole section on instruments of torture. You see Jesus on a cross in a Christian bookstore, and they shouldn't bloody it up because, you know, there's children and there's considerations. The Bible said if you saw what really took place, Isaiah said prophetically, when we saw him in that condition, there was nothing. It's repulsive. It's repulsive. There's nothing that we should desire him. But we did consider him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But surely he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Can you say, man, that word wounded means to bore through. To bore a hole through in the Hebrew. Bore a hole through. When he was put on the cross, they didn't even know about crucifixion when Isaiah was doing his writing. They had never heard of it and never seen it in that culture. And he's talking about a man that is having holes bored through him. He's talking about a man suffering like nobody else has ever suffered. The Bible said in one of the Gospels that after Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done, Abba, Father, not mine will, but thine be done," immediately angels came and ministered to him. And what they did was not give him something to take away the pain, but give him something that he would not die until it was paid in full. It was worse. In the sense that he didn't die until it was burned up. All of the wrath of God was burned up in him. I told you this true story that comes out of the migration west, a wagon train with about 8 or 10 wagons pulled by oxen being led across the Great Plains, and a thunderstorm in the distance. Lightning had struck in front of them, and they were in the middle of this Great Plain. Miles of nothing but plains, and the grass waist high and dead, and they hadn't had rain, and now the rains are coming, but the lightning ignited the grass, and this winds from the storm is hastening the fire toward them. Their first impulse was to turn that whole thing around and try to outrun the fire, but they realized it's coming too fast. It will overtake us. It will burn us. It will burn our wagons. It will burn our children, our wives. But the leader of that wagon train said, "We don't have to run from it. There's another way that we can be safe." He told every man to get grass and make a torch out of it and go behind the wagons and light the brush behind the wagons. And it ran that way. So the fire is coming to them, and all they had to do now, as soon as that fire is beyond them, is back the wagons up onto the area that's already burned. And the fire came to where there was nothing left for it to burn, and they're back here in the smoldering area where it's already burned. And he said, "You don't have to fear now, because we are standing where the fire has already burned." Can you say amen? The wonderful thing about being a Christian today is, amen, the wrath of God was burned out in Jesus. Amen. And he stayed on. Oh, the glory. If I'd been on that cross, I love you. But I don't love you like that. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I love you. But 6 hours after that kind of beating, with the power to call the armies of heaven to take me off the cross, and the people out there that's supposed to love me have betrayed me and distanced themselves from me and said, "I don't know you." And I'm in the kind of pain that's unimaginable. And I have the power to come off. Don't ever see Jesus as a victim of Pilate or that mob or Rome. Peter pulled a sword when they came to take Jesus. It wasn't this long. It was more like a Roman short sword, I'm sure. But they came to get him, and Peter said, "I'm going to defend him. I'm going to defend him." And he went for a guy's head. The guy flinched, and he chopped his ear off. His ear fell to the ground. And Jesus stood in front of Peter and said, "Put up your sword." If I needed defending, I would call the armies of heaven. I wouldn't depend on poor old Peter and his little bitty sword. Amen? You see, he wasn't a victim. As a lamb dumb before his shearers in Pilate's hall, he opened not his mouth. It's a good thing he didn't. Good thing he didn't call the armies of heaven. It's a good thing he didn't open his mouth. Because why? Because never a man spake like this man. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He doesn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious people of the day, but he speaks as one having authority. Not just, oh my son, not just over demons and devils, but over nature and waves and winds. It's this man, God incarnate, God in flesh, the second person of the Godhead taking on flesh. There's a song I sing and I love, "Who am I that a king would bleed and die for?" But I want you to know it goes way beyond an earthly ruler. This wasn't just a king hanging on that cross. They put above it, they didn't want him to do it, but they mandated that it be done. King of the Jews. He's not just king of the Jews. He's the king of angels. He's the king of the universe. He was God in flesh. Amen. To wit, the scripture said, God was in Jesus Christ. Where? On the cross. Doing what? Reconciling the world unto himself. You know, the Bible said if the princes of this world had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. We're not just talking about political leaders. We're talking about the powers and the principalities that wanted him dead, that knew the prophecy. Amen. You will bruise his heel and he will bruise your head. His wound is not unto death, but yours is, old hoss. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. On the cross, his heel was bruised. But when he said it is finished, Satan's head was bruised. Can you say amen? For those that would trust Christ as their Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who am I, Sean, that God, in order to redeem me, would take on flesh so that he could do what? So he could go to the cross. The Bible said God is just and he's a justifier of them that believe in Jesus Christ. Crucified for our transgression, raised for our justification. How can God be holy and just and forgive our sins? How can he do that? He has to punish our sin in order to be just and justified in forgiving us. And he punished my sin. He punished your sin in Jesus Christ. So that when we repented of our sin and received Christ as our Savior, he could forgive us completely. Hallelujah. This is why the judgment is going to be so severe when it comes. This is why judgment is close. This is why the cup of God's indignation is filling up. This good God that would go to that length to save, of how much sore punishment, suppose you they would be worthy who have just... It was a Jewish custom. If you did that, even Jesus said, if you go into a town and they don't want to hear the gospel, don't try to push it on somebody. Shake the dust off your feet. That was symbolic. Amen. It was symbolic. Shake the dust off your feet. Don't cast your pearl before swine. They're not calling people swine. You're worth Christ's death on the cross that gives you value beyond anything this world can comprehend. But what he said was, if someone chooses darkness over light and they want to go deeper into that darkness, don't keep trying. I like what one missionary said. No one deserves to hear the gospel twice until everyone has heard the gospel once. Amen. That's why sometimes in here, I'm preaching to the choir some Sundays. There are people in here that are already saved, and we rejoice, and we get strengthened and exhort one another. But somebody's going to hear the message somewhere in the world because of the World Wide Web. Somebody's going to hear the message somewhere because of the radio on the World Wide Web. Somebody, somewhere is going to seize that opportunity to have their sins forgiven and to come to Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And that's what pumps me up. And that's what makes me preach like I've got 10,000 people, because in fact there's more than that out there. And wherever God wants to send His word, He's going to send it. Hallelujah. And somebody's going to get saved. It may not be this community. I don't know. Only God knows. But somebody, somewhere is going to hear the gospel and be glad to come to Christ. Somebody's going to choose light over darkness. Christ over Satan. Hallelujah. Righteousness over sin. And some captive is going to get set free. Because we preach Jesus and Him crucified. Hallelujah. How shall we escape? How shall we escape? When they came down to hear John the Baptist preach, they knew crowds were following them. They didn't like that. They controlled, the Sanhedrin controlled the religious system that Jesus found. It was a religious system. They didn't even know him from Adam's house cat. And he said, talking about God, he said, if you'd known my Father, you'd know me, because I came out from him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me very carefully. They came down to hear John preach. They wanted to find out what he was up to. Who gave him the authority? How dare he go out there and hold these meetings and baptizing people under repentance and talking about God and all of this stuff? And John the Baptist said, what'd you come out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Did you come out to see what your normal, everyday, nominal preacher is? You got a different guy here today. He didn't ask you to be ordained. God sent him. Let me tell you something about John. In God's sight, man was putting him down. You know what Jesus said about John the Baptist? There had never been a greater born of woman. Come on, we're talking Isaiah here. We're talking Samson. We're talking David. Come on. How many know they were all born of women? Bible said there's never been. Yeah, they were. Yep. Amen. Never greater born of a woman. Nobody ever been born of a woman greater than John. God put him in a powerful, wonderful place. But let me tell you something about you, because of the new covenant. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. Thank you. I know you got to chew meat. I understand you can't just bolt it down and give a hand clap. Come on. I know you're going to have to chew on it. You come here to worship with us and learn. You don't just come here to say, oh yeah, that's a given. I know that. No, if you knew it, if you knew it, if you knew it, if you really knew it, if you really knew it, hallelujah, the least one of you that have come to Christ by faith and have been brought into God's spiritual kingdom, he said there's never been a greater one born of a woman than John, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. You have a standing with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! And now, you're not just prophets of God, preachers of God. Amen. You are the sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what John didn't have, and that's what you do have. Woo! This is one of those tis or taint scriptures. It either it is or it ain't. You can't argue it. Can you say, man? It's true or it's not. But if it's true, it ought to shock us. It ought to rock us. It ought to motivate us. It ought to move us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God has no stepchildren. Hallelujah. And adoption. He give us the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to seal us, and He verifies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gave us the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Only one person could use that word legitimately until after the cross. Only one person. And that's when Jesus was in the garden, and He said, Abba, Father. There was an intimacy that was necessary for His comfort in the garden, because the Bible said His sweat became as great droplets of blood. Doctors tell us that when someone is under severe stress, small capillaries under the skin burst and come out the sweat glands with the sweat, and you get a brownish red emission from the pores in the skin. Jesus was sweating that brownish red because in the garden He said His soul was sorrowful unto death. He asked, understand this, everything that's concerning His suffering in our behalf, He didn't do it with any divine enablement. He did it as a man lost, a man punished. And in the garden, the pressure was on. When I think of pressure of that crucifixion and that beating, I think of the pain. But something else was going to happen that was beyond even the realm of such intense pain. On that cross, Jesus would cry something He had never, ever cried in His life. Eloi! Eloi! Lama sabachthani! My God! My God! Why hast Thou forsaken me? Theologians have stood in awe of that statement. God abandoned by God. How can this be? Because He that knew no sin became sin, or treated as a sinner. And by the way, He knew no sin. Satan couldn't punish Him. He didn't have to go to hell and be punished by demons. When He said, it's finished, it was finished. Make no mistake about it, the blood of Jesus is enough. It paid it in full. Glory to God. I know that doctrine's out there. There's a mess out there if you want to know the truth about it. But I always let Jesus' word be the last word. And everybody else's revelation is subject to His truth. And when you put it up to His truth and it don't work, I throw it out. Amen. I don't know what you do with it. You probably paid a lot for the tapes, so you might want to hold on to them for some reason. I don't even give them to the Goodwill. I don't want nobody else messed up. I throw them away. Heard a preacher on television the other day. He had a whole mess of tapes. Cost you $135 for the set. How to chart your own course. Isaiah said, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own way. One translation of that said, it's not a man that walketh to chart his own course. Amen. And yet, man, our flesh, loves to be in control. We're afraid if we give God control, we won't get what we want. Well, when what we want is His will, not my will but thine be done, we're not afraid to give Him the wheel and let Him drive. But when we're afraid He's going to take us where we don't want to go, then we don't want to give Him the wheel. So give me a message that I can keep the wheel. Amen. Oh, honey, you need to give Him the wheel. Amen. He won't hurt you. He'll help you. He'll help you get free from this culture and from our weak flesh and from Satan's deceptions. Can you say amen? Everybody say kingdom of God just for a moment before we close. Because this man's got to run and he's getting ready to run. Can anybody operate this apparatus? You can. Would you come up and get ready, because we're going to close in just 30 minutes. I mean a few minutes. Hallelujah. No, I'm not kidding at all. Anyway, God is good today. I want him to have the wheel. I've told this before, and I think I might have mentioned it to you as we were talking about being led of the Spirit of God. If you fall in love with Jesus, he wants you to serve him because you love him back for loving you enough to do what he did in your behalf. If he ever gets your heart, I found out my heart is connected to my wallet. Isn't that strange? When God has my heart, he's got everything I have. It's at his disposal. Nobody has to promise me pie in the sky. Nobody has to threaten me with some kind of a curse. I heard a lady the other day on television, and she was quoting out of the book of Psalms. There's some great blessing in Psalm 90-something, verse something. And for everybody that sends in 90-something dollars and this many cents, you can get that blessing. And I thought, Lord, help us. I don't know where to laugh or get sick at my stomach. It's sickening. I thought it was one of the greatest blessings in Psalm. It's Psalm 1. But that only cost you a dollar. Amen. Blessed is the man. Would you like to hear Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor walks in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. I'm getting an attitude now. Can you say amen? Day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and shall not cease from yielding his fruit, and whatever he puts his hand to is going to prosper. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. $1. But nobody's ever sold that one on the television. Pretty good one for a buck. It'll cost me a buck to get that. No, it'll cost you everything to get that. Can you say, man, it'll cost you the world. Somebody said, well, I have to give up my flaky friends if I come to Christ. No, come to Christ. They'll give you up. But you'll have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You'll have a God that bends down and listens when you pray. They can't help you in the emergency room. Oh, there's people that drink with you and party with you. They won't be there. If they are there, they can't do a thing for you. But this God can raise you up, heal you, deliver you, set you free. Like he raised you up. This is a dead man walking right here. They said he's dead. They pronounced him dead. They covered him up, but God raised him up. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This gospel did not come in word only. It never came just as a theological truth. It came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. It came in much assurance. Can you say amen? God confirms his word. Make no mistake about it. The days of miracles are not over, because God is the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. Hallelujah. He's not supposed to be alive, but he is alive. He's not supposed to be walking around, but he is walking around. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. God give us praying mamas. God give us praying mamas. Oh, we got plenty of preachers. God give us praying men and women. Praying daddies. Praying mamas. Can you say amen? Somebody that can stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Hallelujah. God's looking for it. Judgment is about to come in the land. And what does God do? Because He's a good and gracious God and delights in mercy. Judgments are coming in the land. And God said, and I looked for a man. 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 The judgments are coming. The sure judgments of God are coming. But God is looking for an intercessor. Hallelujah. I look for a man to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. Can you say amen? We're not talking agricultural hedges. We're talking about a wall of righteousness. When repentance is offered, amen. Who has a God like our God that forgives sin, that pardons iniquity, that is so ready to take away the stain of sin and give us His blessing? Who has a God like our God? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Bible, something used to challenge me when I'd read. It said, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I said, what is there to fear in a God who wants to forgive? There's forgiveness. I had to redefine. I had to understand. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the dread of God for those who repent and trust in Him. It means deep reverence with awe and affection. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Deep reverence with awe. He's so great, and yet He's so gracious to me. I stand in awe of His greatness. Oh, but I stand in the shadow of His grace. Hallelujah. The fact that we serve a God like this, that is known for His goodness and His grace. He said, I have no pleasure. Don't ever misquote Him or misinterpret Him because you're mad at somebody or you don't like what they're doing and you want to. Don't call fire out of heaven like His disciples. I have no pleasure, He said. No pleasure in the death of him that dieth. I have no pleasure in that. I don't get some kind of satisfaction out of seeing the wicked punished. Ah, but what delights Him? What delights Him? When someone repents of their sin and He's able to pardon them, the Bible said there's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We stopped last week on the same thing we're going to stop with this week. Don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let the mighty man. Come on, men. Do that again, Brother Taylor. You know what they used to tell me when I used to be a gym rat? I used to be a gym rat. Not now. Don't look at me now. But I used to be a gym rat. I used to go to the gym a lot. And I was in the gym walking through, and one of those great big bodybuilders, this is a hardcore gym where professional wrestlers, world-class power lifters and bodybuilders worked out, and this guy come by me. He had muscles where I didn't have places. He said, wait a minute, Preacher Bob. Wait a minute. You got a string hanging out your sleeve. And he come over and yanked my arm. I said, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. Yeah. I'm just a poor old preacher man. But those boys gloried in their strength. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the mighty man his strength, nor the rich man his riches. But he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. He quoted the prophet's words from the Old Testament. Amen. For he executes righteousness and judgment and mercy in all of the earth. For in these things I delight, saith God. Hallelujah. To balance this demand for righteousness is his mercy. And his mercies are new every morning to you and to me. I'm going to read this scripture as we close. Listen carefully. Who is a God like unto thee? Micah 7:18. And before we talk about power, let's talk about pardon. That pardoneth iniquity. That passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever. Why? Because he delights in mercy. I like another translation that said, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Hallelujah. Because God delights in pardoning sin and showing mercy, he calls those of us who have sinned to come. Two attributes repeated over and over again, Old and New Covenant. God's mercy and God's grace. Everybody say God's mercy and God's grace. Mercy means you don't get what you do deserve. Amen? You don't get. It's like when you get pulled over with your seatbelt unlatched. And what's the fine now? My son got caught the other day. And his wife. Neither one of them had their seatbelt on. That's $300 and something. And he flat broke. Friend of mine has a 5-year-old grandchild. Daddy had left when he was 3. Mama was working at Walmart in jewelry department. And they had downsized and she lost her job. But he, little boy, had a tooth loose that wouldn't come on out, so she took him to the dentist. Children are brutally honest.
Yes, they are.
Sat him down in the dentist chair, and his grandpa, who worked with me when I was bivocational for a while, and his mama, they both went in there with him to comfort him, you know, let him know it's going to be fine. And the dentist wanted to establish a rapport with him. He said, well, young man, how is it with you today? He said, my daddy left us, my mama lost her job, we're flat broke. 5 years old. You do not want to tell the doctor you ain't got no money until after he's done his job. You want to wait till the end and try to work it out. Children are honest. You serve a God today that delights in mercy. That's why the judgment that is coming is going to be so severe. That's why. How shall we escape this judgment to come if we neglect such a great salvation as this? See, we're not serving a mean, cruel God that gets sick pleasure in our pain. We're serving a God that has done more than anyone could ever possibly think of doing in order to save you and to save me. And he deserves an allegiance from our heart that cuts that allegiance to sin and to self and to Satan. He deserves something better than just a little tip of our hat on Sunday morning. He deserves our heart, our all. He deserves it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask a question here today before we completely close this service. Is there anyone in this room? Get that ready. That doesn't know Christ as your Savior. And today, this very moment, this hour, the Holy Spirit is prompting you. Come to Jesus. And you've been weighing that. You know you need to, but you've been weighing it against what it might cost you. You haven't seen what you get when you come to Him. If you ever see what is yours in Christ, you won't run from Him anymore. You run to Him and accept Him as your Savior. Hallelujah. The offer stands today. Today is the day of salvation. There'll never be a better time in your life to come to Jesus than right here and right now. Never a better time. Anyone in this room, I've never known Christ. I'm not asking about your church affiliation, whether you've been baptized, Christian, going to Sunday. I'm not asking that. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you know that if you died today, that you would go to heaven because you have accepted Jesus Christ? And see, it's not enough for the blood to be supplied at the cross. The blood has to be applied through repentance and faith toward God. And when it's applied, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You don't have to fear the judgment to come. And it is coming. And I believe it's coming very soon. In effect, the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble that will shake this entire planet for the last shaking. Hallelujah. Before there's a new heaven and new earth. I want to be ready for Christ's coming. I want to be ready to meet Him before I leave this building. Anyone in this room, I need Jesus as my Savior. Anyone in this room. All right? Second question. I want to deepen my commitment to follow Christ. You see, we're upstream Christians in a downstream world. And you have to determine to go against the culture and against the current of this world in order to follow Jesus Christ. And it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Hallelujah. There's no life better than the Christian life. With all of its struggles, you have. We used to sing that camp meeting song, I have somebody with me to share my heavy load. I feel His presence near me every day. When trouble overtakes me, and surely it will, on life's weary road, I have somebody with me all the way. Having His person and His promise to be with me is worth every kind of issue that may arise because I'm a Christian. I can do without a lot of things in life. I can't do without Jesus. Can you say amen? I just can't do without Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many in this room say, Pastor Venable, I want to make a fresh, new commitment to follow Christ with all that I am and all that I have. Just lift your hand. Let God see it. Like most people in this room. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God for that commitment. Did you know what's happening right now? All of heaven's resources. If you meant it, you don't have to do it in your strength. All of heaven's resources are yours right now. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promised to never leave you. God's wisdom, God's grace, God's love, and God's power are ready to be communicated to you to walk this out and live it out in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many glad you came to church today? Amen. Hallelujah. I used to lift weights. Found out something years ago about that. You got to lift enough to stretch the muscle so that, and actually tear it a little bit, not a lot. You don't want to tear your bicep or blow an elbow, but tear it a little bit so when it repairs itself, it comes back stronger and bigger. And when we're challenged by the Word of God to get closer to God and to follow Jesus, we come back stronger. And our faith grows bigger. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So I come to church to be challenged so I can be changed. Because I haven't arrived at sinless perfection. Amen. And I hate to burst your bubble, but neither have you. So we're in this thing together today. Can you say amen? We're in it together. But the God of Jacob is here today. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is here today. The Christ of Galilee is in this room today. He has promised to meet with us. So we're going to pray in just a moment for the needs. But right now, can we just worship Him for a holy moment? If you can begin that, Brother Michael. There's a revival taking place around the world. And God is moving by His Spirit all over this world. If it doesn't play, we'll be fine because we'll just pray in just a moment. Or you can go to the instrument and just give us some background for prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's incompatible. It is compatible, but they changed everything. Could you just go to the instrument mic if it's on? And let's just believe God today. Somewhere in the world, someone is listening to Let's Talk About Jesus. I know they're hearing it in Kenya. I know in London and in South Africa. I know from Asia to the Arctic, the message is going forth. God is propelling it. God is sending His word because Jesus' coming is very, very soon. I'm not going to be foolish enough to make those predictions that have failed because only the Father knows, not even the angels are privy to the time, the day, or the hour. But I believe with all of my heart, biblically, we can know that there is a season for His coming. And I believe we're in the season. I do not believe, Brother Taylor, we are in the last days. I believe we are in the last of the last days. It's not just the signs in the world or Jerusalem, which is God's timepiece. Make no mistake about it. But there's signs in the church. That day, not the coming of the Lord, but the day of the Lord that is to come. It shall not come until something occurs in the church that triggers another event prophetically. Until there become a great, this is not a little corner that is happening. A great falling away first. It's called the apostasy. Falling away is occurring. The world church can't form until there's compromise in the true church. And it's forming. And some of the leaders of some of the largest congregations in America are being groomed to compromise the faith in the name of love and unity. And that's not love, and that's not unity. That's high treason against God. And when someone is carrying a false gospel and we in the name of love say, God bless you, the Bible said we partake of their sin. We're aiding and abetting them in leading people into a false security and a false salvation. We cannot bid them Godspeed. Some walls in denominations need to come tumbling down so we can work together in God's great harvest. But some walls need to be strengthened. You know why? Because when Jesus comes, He says, shall I find faith? I'm not talking about believing Him for the new car and the house and the job and the money. I'm talking about the faith. Earnestly contend. Put up a real fight, because if we don't put up a fight, we lose by default. For the faith that was what? Once delivered by the saints. For we're built upon a foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good today. Thank you for those hands. Thank you that there's a challenge and that means potential for change. I pastored for 41 years in January. Been married for 51 years this past. That's an enduring marriage in a time when so many Christian homes are under attack and so many are breaking up. Our marriage is not a lasting marriage is not a result of our perfect compatibility. No attack from the enemy. No pressure from without. No problems within. The victory is because of one person. It's our personal commitment to Jesus Christ that keeps us falling in love with one another over and over again. and over again. Pastor said the other day at our pastor's meeting, he said, you're not supposed to quit dating your wife after you get married, no matter how long you've been married. So if you've got a wife, date her. Take her out. Take her out like she's a 10-cal woman. You'll have to come. Oh, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Would you give me 5 minutes to explain so you know what you're laughing at? In the islands of the sea, back at the turn of the century, there was a young man by the name of Johnny Lingo. There was a man that had two daughters, one young and very beautiful on the outside, and one not as young, but so beautiful on the inside. And Johnny Lingo said, I want that gal for my wife. But you had to pay a dowry to the daddy in that culture. And he demanded 5 cows for either one of his daughters. And he thought, you know, probably this other older daughter, she's going to be a old maid. She's never going to leave home. But Johnny Lingo chose her because he saw quality within her. He asked for the daughter's hand, and he thought he meant the younger daughter, and he brought her out. He said, no, not her, her. And he said, how much for the dowry that you'll permit us to marry? He said, 5 cows. The next day, Johnny Lingo showed up with 10 cows. The daddy was kind of shocked, and he said, I only asked 5 cow. And Johnny Lingo said, I know, but she 10-cow woman. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, have you got a 10-cow woman sitting there? Praise God. How many of you wives would like to be a 10-cow woman now? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, Miss Willie. Hallelujah. She put up both hands. She put up 10. God is so good today. Because everybody else looking on the outside. But God, He's looking on the inside. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. And we're worth the death of His Son on the cross. Those of you that raised your hand, I pray God will bless you this week, that you will continue to be challenged and changed as the Spirit of God helps you confront the culture we're in, and you make choices every day to follow Jesus or follow the world. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. We used to sing. Praise God. Though the devil tempt me and try to turn me around, even if I could, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Can you say amen? For now is our salvation nearer than the day that we believed. Praise God. Thank you for your hands and your hearts and your attentive ears today. You that came for prayer, would you please come for special prayer this morning? You came to stand in the gap. Would someone come and stand around these folk right here? Just join Brother Taylor. Would you come and stand with me today? Hallelujah. Sean, would you come and stand on the other side of me? Aaron and her. Willie, would you come? Hallelujah. I feel the strength of these brethren. I feel your faith today. And ladies, would you come? Hallelujah. Deacons and deaconesses here. Elders are not people appointed by men. Call the elders, the mature ones. It's not just in years, but in spiritual experience. Call the elders. Call the elders. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We stand in the gap today for someone just to just a year and a little bit older than me, that's going in for a very complicated open heart surgery. Lady went in for throat, a little throat outpatient clinic thing. Passed away. You know the celebrity that occurred. Anytime you're put under, anytime, we need God with us. Man can only go so far. There's no limits to what God can do. And this other person who has sugar has peaked at 500. It's enough to put you in a sugar coma without God intervening. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for medical help. But thank God for Jesus, who has no limits. Father, we stand in the gap that we might make up the hedge for these two people that have such great needs today. We pray that the greater need and the greatest of all would be met if either one does not know you as their Savior, that they would come to know you, and that these very events would cause them to know their need for you. And Father, as you meet these needs and you bring them through, that they would know the greatness and the graciousness of your name. In Jesus' name, let healing waters flow. Let healing waters flow. Let healing waters flow in the name of Jesus Christ, for the glory and the honor of our God and King, and the help of your people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you today. We thank you today. We honor you today. Praise the Lord. What do you need him to do today?